Leila nishmas of klenimish kalman ben Revi Melech. Yuma perak hey mishnah aleph. Hotzilo as a kaf as a machta. So the Rav explains that they brought him out from the lishka sakelim, the kaf, which was a spoon, and the machta, a pan. But this pan was not used to cook with or to heat things up. Rather, it was just used to hold the ground up ketores. And the Gemara explains that from this machta, from this pan, the Kohen Gadol would now take the ketores with his hands. He would do chafina. V'chofon meloi chofnav v'nosan l'seich ha-kaf. He filled both of his hands, scooping it out from the machta, v'nosan l'seich ha-kaf. And he now poured the ketores that was in his hands into the kaf. Hagodlo l'fi godlo, v'akotun l'fi kotno. Depending on the size of the person in his hands, whether it was large or small, v'kach ha'isa midasa. This is what its midah was. The Rav explained that just like on every other day of the year, when the Kohen would do a chafina, when he would scoop it out with his hands, he put it into his hands, mamish, and he did not use a kli that was the same shear as his hands. So too on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen would put it into the spoon, and then from the spoon, we're going to see that he would then need to pour it back into his hands. He would pour it back into his hands, and he would not pour it into a kli that had the same size as what his hands can hold. It dafka needed to be in his hands. That's what the Mishnah is telling us when it says v'kach hoisa midasa. The same way, it has to be his hands, depending on how big they were. Notal es ha-machta bimino besakaf besmolo. So he took the machta now. Now the machta we're dealing with now is the burning machta that had the coals inside of it, like the Taisus Yantiv explains. So this is not the same machta we just spoke about. So now he had the machta in his right hand. The Rav explains, because it was very heavy, and also it was very hot, so we used the right hand, because it was the right hand is usually stronger. And the kaf, the spoon, was in his left hand. And he'd walk through the heichel until he got to between the two curtains, until he got to the place between the kodesh, which is the heichel, and the kodesh hakadoshim. And between these two curtains, there was an amma's width, and there should be a picture below. The reason that this was done was because, like Gemara explains, we're dealing with bayis sheni. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall there that was the thickness of an amma. An amma is about 1.5 feet, so it's a very narrow area, but that was the thickness of the first wall. And the Mesupik in the bayis sheni in the second Beis HaMikdash, whether the area that the thickness of the wall was in, was that considered part of the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kedoshim, they weren't sure. So therefore, because of different sfeikas, they made sure that there were two curtains. Because if the place where the wall stood from the first Beis HaMikdash, if that had the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it wouldn't be fitting then to put one curtain before that. Or if the other way, the Kedusha that the wall stood from the first Beis HaMikdash was considered Kedusha of Chutz, meaning it wasn't the Kodesh HaKadoshim, wasn't the Holy of Holies, rather it was considered on the outside, then it would be fitting to have the wall before that. Therefore, they had two curtains. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo ha'istasham ela parochas achas bilvad. Rabbi Yossi held that there was only one parochas. Even in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was one. Shenemar v'ivdilu ha'parochas lachem bein ha'kodesh v'ein kodesh ha'kadoshim. Like the Torah says, that there should be a parochas, just one, between the kodesh and kodesh ha'kadoshim. First of all, explains that according to Rabbi Yossi, he held that they knew the kedusha of where the wall stood was considered lifnim, it was considered kodesh kadoshim. Therefore, it would have been further out. Mishnah continues, Hachitzayin ha'isa prufa min adarim. The outer curtain was folded and clasped with a golden clasp or hook from the bottom. So it was open on the bottom because the whole curtain went from side to side. But the bottom one was open and hooked open. Vapnimis min atzafon, and the inner curtain closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim was opened from the north, like the picture below should show. Mahalech b'nein ad shemigil atzafon. The Kohen Gadol now, with the hot fire pan in his right hand and the spoon that had the ketores in his left hand, mahalch beinein ad shemigil atzafon. He'd walk between them until he got to the north. He gil atzafon. When he got to the north, he started turning to the left, hoifich panav ladarim, and then again to the left, till he now was walking southward with the curtain to his left side and the Aron HaKodesh to his right side, or the place where the Aron HaKodesh stood in the second Beis HaMikdash. Mahalich l'smolo im aparoiches. He walked southwards with the curtain on his left side, Achihu Magia La'aron, until he got to the place of the Aron. Now, since we're dealing with the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron HaKodesh in the second Beis HaMikdash. It just means the place of the Aron, like the Gemara explains. He Agia La'aron, and when he got there, Noisin es ha-machta ben shnei habadim. He now put the hot fire pan between the place where the two poles of the Aron HaKodesh used to be, so right in the middle of the Aron HaKodesh. And now we get to what the Mefarshim explain is one of the hardest avodas that the Kohen Gadol had to do. Tzovras ha-ketores al gabi gecholim. He now heaped the ketores on top of the coals. V'nismalei chol habayis kulo oshen. And the whole room was filled with smoke. Now, what was so difficult about this? Because what he first had to do, like we explained in the beginning of the Mishnah, is that he had to have the Ketores in his hands. So he now had to turn the spoon to fill both of his hands. So how can you do that if you're holding the spoon in one hand? So Tarz says that he wasn't holding the spoon in his hand. He would hold the spoon, according to some, he'd hold it with his teeth. And Tysus learns that this is the difficulty, number one, to pour it using his teeth, that when he turned the spoon, the Ketores would fall into his hands, and you couldn't even lose one drop of the Ketores. The Rambam says that that's what made it so difficult, that you couldn't even lose one drop onto the ground. And also, the other difficulty, Tysus explains, is that he shouldn't get burned when all this is happening, when he actually then takes the Ketores that's in his hands, and he makes it into a heap on the hot fire pan, that he shouldn't get burned by this, or die from the smoke. And he dafka had to wait till the whole room is filled with smoke, because the Torah says, V'chisa anon ha'ktar, says ha'kbaras asher ala edus. Yatsu valo b'derech beis knisaso. He now leaves, and he comes back to return the same way that he entered, which basically means he doesn't turn around. Rather, like a Talmud leaving from his Rebbe, he backs up the same way he entered, like if he'd be pushing rewind, he would just go backwards like that, but he'd be facing the Arna Kodesh. And now when he gets to the Heichal, after he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, U'mispal tefila katzara b'bayis achitzen. He now davens a short tefila in the outer house, meaning the Heichal. And we know the famous tefilas that he would daven was one that if it was supposed to be a hot year, it should have Geshem, and also that the Malchus should stay with Yehuda, and that Klai Yisrael shouldn't need parnasa from anyone else or from each other. And Hashem shouldn't listen to the tefila of people that are traveling when they would daven that it shouldn't rain to annoy their travels. Rather, it should always rain. These are the tefillas. He shouldn't make a long davening here, not to anger the Jewish people, because during the second Beis Hamikdash, there were a lot of Kohanim Gedolim that were Rishoyim, and they wouldn't end up making it out of there. They would die, and everybody was anxiously waiting for him. Therefore, he should go out quickly.